Welcome to day 230 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries, and I'm glad that you've chosen to join me again today as we continue our journey through the Word of God this year. Today's reading will take us through Jeremiah chapters 38 through 40 and Psalm 74 and Psalm 79. We are at a point in Israel's history here in the book of Jeremiah where the Babylonians are about to capture the city, and Jeremiah has continued to speak the truth as God has shown it to him to the people of Judah, but they have gotten very frustrated and the officials decide to put him in an imprisonment situation because they don't want Jeremiah discouraging the army that's trying to fight the Babylonian army that's trying to breach the wall of Jerusalem. So Jeremiah spends some time imprisoned, and then it will actually be the king of Babylon himself who will spare him and get him out of his imprisonment and allow him to remain in the land even when he returns to Babylon with many of the people. So Jeremiah was literally protected by God throughout all of this difficult season. So we begin today in our reading in the New American Standard Bible at Jeremiah chapter 38, starting at the first verse. Now Shephatiah the son of Mattan, and Gedaliah the son of Pashur, and Jukal the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur the son of Malchijah, heard the words that Jeremiah was speaking to all the people, saying, "Thus says the Lord, he who stays in this city will die by the sword and by famine and by pestilence, but he who goes out to the Chaldeans will live and have his own life as booty and stay alive. Thus says the Lord, this city will certainly be given into the hand of the army of the king of Babylon, and he will capture it." Then the official said to the king, "Now let this man be put to death, inasmuch as he's discouraging the men of war who are left in this city and all the people by speaking such words to them. For this man is not seeking the well-being of this people, but rather their harm." So King Zedekiah said, "Behold, he is in your hands, for the king can do nothing against you." Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the cistern of Malchijah the king's son, which was in the court of the guardhouse, and they let Jeremiah down with ropes. Now in the cistern there was no water, but mud only, and Jeremiah sank into the mud. But Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, a eunuch, while he was in the king's palace, heard that they had put Jeremiah into the cistern. Now the king was sitting in the gate of Benjamin, and Ebed-Melech went out from the king's palace and spoke to the king, saying, "My lord the king, these men have acted wickedly in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the cistern, and he will die right where he is because of the famine, for there is no more bread in the city." Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, "Take 30 men from here under your authority and bring up Jeremiah the prophet from the cistern before he dies." So Ebed-Melech took the men under his authority and went into the king's palace to a place beneath the storeroom and took from there worn-out clothes and worn-out rags and let them down by ropes into the cistern to Jeremiah. Then Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said to Jeremiah, "Now put these worn-out clothes and rags under your armpits under the ropes." And Jeremiah did so. So they pulled Jeremiah up with the ropes and lifted him out of the cistern, and Jeremiah stayed in the court of the guardhouse. Then King Zedekiah sent and had Jeremiah the prophet brought to him at the third entrance that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, "I am going to ask you something. Do not hide anything from me." Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "If I tell you, will you not certainly put me to death? Besides, if I give you advice, you will not listen to me." But King Zedekiah swore to Jeremiah in secret, saying, "As the Lord lives, who made this life for us, surely I will not put you to death, nor will I give you over to the hand of these men who are seeking your life." Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "Thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you will indeed go out to the officers of the king of Babylon, then you will live. This city will not be burned with fire, and you and your household will survive. But if you will not go out to the officers of the king of Babylon, then this city will be given over to the hand of the Chaldeans, and they will burn it with fire, and you yourself will not escape from their hand." Then King Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, "I dread the Jews who have gone over to the Chaldeans, for they may give me over into their hands, and they will abuse me." But Jeremiah said, "They will not give you over. Please obey the Lord in what I'm saying to you, that it may go well with you and you may live. But if you keep refusing to go out, this is the word which the Lord has shown me. Then behold, all of the women who have been left in the palace of the king of Judah are going to be brought out to the officers of the king of Babylon. And those women will say, 'Your close friends have misled and overpowered you. While your feet were sunk in the mire, they turned back.' They will also bring out all your wives and your sons to the Chaldeans, and you yourself will not escape from their hand, but will be seized by the hand of the king of Babylon, and this city will be burned with fire." Then Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, "Let no man know about these words, and you will not die. But if the officials hear that I've talked with you and come to you and say to you, 'Tell us now what you said to the king and what the king said to you,' do not hide it from us, and we will not put you to death. Then you are to say to them, 'I was presenting my petition before the king, not to make me to return to the house of Jonathan to die there.'" Then all the officials came to Jeremiah and questioned him. So he reported to them in accordance with all these words which the king had commanded, and they ceased speaking with him, since the conversation had not been overheard. So Jeremiah stayed in the court of the guardhouse until the day that Jerusalem was captured. Chapter 39. Now when Jerusalem was captured in the 9th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came to Jerusalem and laid siege to it. In the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the 4th month, in the 9th day of the month, the city wall was breached. Then all the officials of the king of Babylon came in and sat down at the middle gate. Nergal, Sar-Ezer, Samgar-Nebu, Sar-Sikhem, the Rabasaris. Nergal, Sar-Ezer, the Rabmag, and all the rest of the officials of the king of Babylon. When Zedekiah the king of Judah and all the men of war saw them, they fled and went out of the city at night by way of the king's garden through the gate between the two walls, and he went out toward the Arabah. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and they seized him and brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, at Riblah in the land of Hamath. And he passed sentence on him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes at Riblah. The king of Babylon also slew all the nobles of Judah. He then blinded Zedekiah's eyes and bound him in fetters of bronze to bring him to Babylon. The Chaldeans also burned with fire the king's palace and the houses of the people, and they broke down the walls of Jerusalem. As for the rest of the people who were left in the city, the deserters who had gone over to him and the rest of the people who remained, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, carried them into exile in Babylon. But some of the poorest people who had nothing, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, left behind in the land of Judah and gave them vineyards and fields at that time. Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave orders about Jeremiah through Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, saying, "Take him and look after him, and do nothing harmful to him, but rather deal with him just as he tells you." So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, sent word, along with Nebushazaban, the Rabsaris, and Nergal-Sar-Ezar, the Rabmag, and all the leading officers of the king of Babylon. They even sent and took Jeremiah out of the court of the guardhouse and entrusted him to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, to take him home. So he stayed among the people. Now the word of the Lord had come to Jeremiah while he was confined in the court of the guardhouse, saying, "Go and speak to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am about to bring my words on this city for disaster and not for prosperity, and they will take place before you on that day. But I will deliver you on that day, declares the Lord, and you will not be given into the hand of the men whom you dread. For I will certainly rescue you, and you will not fall by the sword, but you will have your own life as booty, because you have trusted in me, declares the Lord." Chapter 40. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord after Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, had released him from Ramah, when he had taken him bound in chains among all the exiles of Jerusalem and Judah who were being exiled to Babylon. Now the captain of the bodyguard had taken Jeremiah and said to him, "The Lord your God promised this calamity against this place, and the Lord has brought it on and done just as he promised. Because you people sinned against the Lord and did not listen to his voice, therefore this thing has happened to you. But now, behold, I am freeing you today from the chains which are on your hands. If you would prefer to come with me to Babylon, come along, and I will look after you. But if you would prefer not to come with me to Babylon, never mind. Look, the whole land is before you. Go wherever it seems good and right for you to go." As Jeremiah was still not going back, he said, "Go on back then to Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon has appointed over the cities of Judah, and stay with him among the people, or else go anywhere it seems right for you to go." So the captain of the bodyguard gave him a ration and a gift and let him go. Then Jeremiah went to Mizpah to Gedaliah the son of Ahikam and stayed with him among the people who were left in the land. Now all the commanders of the forces that were in the field, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah the son of Ahikam over the land, and that he had put him in charge of the men, women, and children, those of the poorest of the land who had not been exiled to Babylon. So they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah, along with Ishmael the son of Nethaniah, and Johanan, and Jonathan the sons of Kareah, and Sariah the son of Tanhumeth, and the sons of Ephi the Netuphatite, and Jezaniah the son of the Maacathite, both they and their men. Then Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, swore to them and to their men, saying, "Do not be afraid of serving the Chaldeans. Stay in the land and serve the king of Babylon, that it may go well with you. Now, as for me, behold, I am going to stay at Mizpah to stand for you before the Chaldeans who come to us. But as for you, gather in wine and summer fruit and oil and put them in your storage vessels and live in your cities that you have taken over. Likewise, also, all the Jews who were in Moab and among the sons of Ammon and in Edom and who were in all the other countries heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant in Judah and that he had appointed over them Gedaliah the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan. Then all the Jews returned from all the places to which they had been driven away and came to the land of Judah to Gedaliah at Mizpah and gathered in wine and summer fruit in great abundance. Now Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the commanders of the forces that were in the field came to Gedaliah at Mizpah and said to him, "Are you well aware that Baalis, the king of the sons of Ammon, has sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to take your life?" But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, did not believe them. Then Johanan, the son of Kareah, spoke secretly to Gedaliah in Mizpah, saying, "Let me go and kill Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and not a man will know. Why should he take your life so that all the Jews who are gathered to you would be scattered and the remnant of Judah would perish?" But Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, said to Johanan, the son of Kareah, "Do not do this thing, for you are telling a lie about Ishmael." Psalm 74, verse 1. O God, why have you rejected us forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your inheritance, and this Mount Zion, where you have dwelt. Turn your footsteps toward the perpetual ruins. The enemy has damaged everything within the sanctuary. Your adversaries have roared in the midst of your meeting place. They have set up their own standards for signs. It seems as if one had lifted up his axe in a forest of trees, and now all its carved work they smash with hatchet and hammers. They have burned your sanctuary to the ground. They have defiled the dwelling place of your name. They have said in their heart, "Let us completely subdue them." They have burned all the meeting places of God in the land. We do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet, nor is there any among us who knows how long. How long, O God, will the adversary revile and the enemy spurn your name forever? Why do you withdraw your hand, even your right hand, from within your bosom? Destroy them. Yet God is my King from of old, who works deeds of deliverance in the midst of the earth. You divided the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea monsters in the waters. You crushed the heads of Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the wilderness. You broke open springs and torrents. You dried up ever-flowing streams. Yours is the day. Yours also is the night. You have prepared the light and the sun. You have established all the boundaries of the earth. You have made summer and winter. Remember this, O Lord, that the enemy has reviled, and a foolish people has spurned your name. Do not deliver the soul of your turtle dove to the wild beast. Do not forget the life of your afflicted forever. Consider the covenant, for the dark places of the land are full of the habitations of violence. Let not the oppressed return dishonored. Let the afflicted and needy praise your name. Arise, O God, and plead your own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproaches you all day long. Do not forget the voice of your adversaries, the uproar of those who rise against you, which ascends continually. Psalm 79, verse 1. O God, the nations have invaded your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. They have laid Jerusalem in ruins. They have given the dead bodies of your servants for food to the birds of the heavens, the flesh of your godly ones to the beasts of the earth. They have poured out their blood like water round about Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them. We have become a reproach to our neighbors, a scoffing and a derision to those around us. How long, O Lord, will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath upon the nations which you do not know you, and upon the kingdoms which do not call upon your name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his habitation. Do not remember the iniquities of our forefathers against us. Let your compassion come quickly to meet us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name. And deliver us and forgive our sins for your name's sake. Why should the nations say, "Where is their God?" Let there be known among the nations in our sight vengeance for the blood of your servants which has been shed. Let the groaning of the prisoner come before you. According to the greatness of your power, preserve those who are doomed to die. And return to our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom the reproach with which they have reproached you, O Lord. So we, your people, and the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. To all generations we will tell of your praise. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I just want to comment on a figure that we have just been introduced to in during this reading. You could say a character in the Bible who most people would never have even heard his name or remembered it if they had occasion to read these chapters. But this man, an Ethiopian eunuch, was singled out by the Lord for a special prophetic word given to him by the prophet Jeremiah. The Lord told him in Jeremiah 39, starting at verse 16, said these words to Jeremiah, "Go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am about to bring my words on this city for disaster and not for prosperity, and they will take place before you on that day. But I will deliver you on that day, declares the Lord, and you will not be given into the hand of the men whom you dread. For I will certainly rescue you, and you will not fall by the sword, but you will have your own life as booty, because you have trusted in me, declares the Lord." Now, why did the Lord single out this man, an Ethiopian, so not a Jew, a man from North Africa who was a eunuch serving in the palace of the king of Judah? He singles him out, calls him over, gives him this word from the Lord, and it's a precious word because it's telling him, yes, this disaster is about to come upon the kingdom of Judah and upon the city of Jerusalem. Everything I've said is going to come to pass, but you will receive deliverance for your own life. I will deliver you on that day, declares the Lord. You will not be given into the hand of the men whom you dread. And the reason that he is given this word of encouragement and this promise for his life to be saved and spared, even when the Babylonians overrun the city of Jerusalem and take people away exiled to Babylon, the Lord is telling this man, Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, because you have trusted in me, you will have your own life as booty. I will certainly rescue you, and you will not fall by the sword. What a tremendous word of promise and comfort in the midst of great calamity in the city, great fear on every side. People were shaking in their boots without a doubt, fearing, hiding, because they knew the Babylonians were going to breach that wall around Jerusalem at any time and come pouring into the city, potentially killing everyone around or taking people captive. But here, Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, gets a word from God. I'm going to rescue you. You're not going to die by the sword. You're going to have your own life as a prize because you have trusted in me. What an amazing word. Who was this man, Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian? Well, we were introduced to him in the first part of chapter 38, as we read, when the officials of King Zedekiah got so mad at Jeremiah about the words that he was speaking, which were prophetic words that the city is going to be captured, they got so angry, they asked the king for permission to take hold of him and put him to death. But the men didn't kill him after all. They threw him into a cistern, which was a place for storing water, but the water supplies had been depleted, so there wasn't any water in the cistern, but just mud. And dear Jeremiah the prophet just sunk down in the mud in this cistern. But there was a man who observed all of that and was not in agreement with the treatment of the great prophet Jeremiah. And it was this Ethiopian eunuch who served there in the king's palace, whose name was Ebed-Melech. Ebed-Melech saw what they did to him, and he was so bold as to go to the king himself. That took a lot of courage, because you were not to go and approach the king without an invitation for an audience. But Ebed-Melech had a lot of courage. He obviously trusted God that he was doing what God would have him to do. And he also must have been a man who had shown himself to be both trustworthy and honorable, because the king listened to him right away. So when Ebed-Melech approached the king, who was sitting in the gate of Benjamin, he listen to him. He told the king, "My lord the king, these men have acted wickedly in all that they've done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they've cast into the cistern, and he'll die right where he is because of the famine, for there's no more bread in the city." So can you imagine a eunuch who's just a servant in the house of the king, and yet he has the nerve, the courage to approach the king and to plead for the life of Jeremiah the prophet, even though the king was the one who told those men, "He's in your hands, I can't do anything against you." He released them into the care of those men, or the lack of care of those men, into their hands. And yet, when he heard Ebed-Melech's plea for Jeremiah's life, the king gave him authority to deal with it and to go rescue him. The king told him, "Take 30 men from here under your authority and bring up Jeremiah the prophet from the cistern before he dies." So Ebed-Melech took those men and went into the king's palace. He got some rags and let them down by ropes and told Jeremiah, "Place the rags on your body so that these ropes won't burn you when we pull you up." And they pulled him up by those ropes and rescued him out of that dark, damp cistern so that Jeremiah wasn't going to die there. Now, for that courageous act, both approaching the king, intervening on behalf of Jeremiah, pleading for his life, and risking his own life in both approaching the king, but also in defying those court officials who had thrown him in there to begin with, for that act of bravery, of courage, of faith in God that the Lord would assist him, the Lord gave him that amazing prophetic word, which said to him that God himself would rescue him and not allow him to fall by the sword when the city was overrun by the Babylonians, and that God would give him his life as a prize, because Ebed-Melech trusted in the Lord and did right in the sight of God despite political pressure, despite the calamity of the day, the crisis of the hour, the desperation of the people, those wicked men who undoubtedly would kill him in a moment. He was just a eunuch. In their eyes, he's a foreigner, he's an Ethiopian, and here he has the gall to try to come against what they wanted to do with Jeremiah. And yet Ebed-Melech was courageous. He trusted the Lord and allowed God to use him to rescue the prophet Jeremiah. Now, I bring his story to your attention for this reason. In a sense, Ebed-Melech's one of the unsung heroes of the Bible. very few people would know that name, without a doubt, and fewer still would realize how really courageous he was and how honored he was by the Lord for what he did, and how God values people who have the courage to obey God in the midst of other people who do not love God, do not honor God, do not respect God, and who would give pressure to the other people to do the same as themselves. Abed-Melech didn't care what other people thought. He didn't care even at the risk of his life. He desired to please the Lord, to honor God, to honor the prophet, the man of God. And because of his ability to trust the Lord in his doing what was right in God's sight, even in a dangerous situation, God honored him. You know, God really does honor faithful people. You may think what you're doing for the Lord at any given time is nothing of any consequence, or it's a small thing. Maybe you think, well, I'm not a minister, I'm not a missionary, I don't go to the ends of the earth, or I don't preach the gospel on television or the radio or anything like that. It doesn't matter. God is looking for faithfulness. God's looking for people who will honor him and not care about what others think and be faithful to what the Lord gives into their hands to do. Abed-Melech wasn't a man of great influence, one would say, and yet he had great influence on the king of Judah for good, to do what was right in the sight of God, not to allow Jeremiah the prophet to perish in a cistern. So he was a man of influence, even though you could say his position was a very lowly one. He was a servant, a slave essentially, in the palace, and yet God used him mightily. Whatever you are doing in your life, whatever God has placed in your hands to do, whatever situation you find yourself, whether it's at work or in a family setting or in your neighborhood with the people you know in your community, be faithful in what God has given into your hands. Be faithful to be a person of influence in the arena in which God has placed you. You may think, well, I'm not a person of influence. I guarantee you that eunuch in the palace didn't think he was a man of influence either, and yet the Lord used him to influence a king. God can use you wherever you are, whatever circumstance of life you're in. If you live in a nursing home or you live in a high rent district, it doesn't matter. Be a person of influence and a person who's faithful to God in what God's given you to do wherever you are. And you can be like Abed-Melech, someone that the Lord honors and blesses because you have trusted in him. God bless you and give you a victorious week.